Let's call this meeting to order, please. Champaign County Board of Committee of the Whole for ELEC and County Facilities. There's no highway agenda for tonight. It's Tuesday, September 4th, 2012. The time is 6:05. Please turn off or turn down your cell phones, and I will actually do mine tonight since I did not last time. Roll call, please.
Michael.
Present.
Mitchell.
Here.
Mosier. O'Connor.
Here.
Petrie.
Here.
Quisenberry.
Here.
Richards.
Here.
Rosales.
Here.
Schrader.
Here.
Allett.
Here.
Ammons.
Here.
Anderson. Denzel.
Here.
Berkson.
Here.
Betts.
Here.
Carter.
Here.
Cowart.
Present.
Esri.
Here.
Holderfield.
Here.
James.
Here.
Jay.
Here.
Fibler.
Here.
Kurtz.
Here.
Langenheim.
Here.
Weibel.
Here. We have a quorum. But Ms. Anderson informed me earlier she was not able to make the meeting tonight. Sorry.
Sorry.
We still have a quorum. Seek approval of the minutes for Committee of the Whole for August 7th, 2012.
So moved
by Ms. Rosales, second by Mr. Mitchell. Discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Are we ready to table the pay back there? Okay. Seek approval of the agenda and any addenda. Moved by Mr. James. Second by Mr. Carter. Discussion on the agenda. Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Public participation. Let me say, I see lots of new faces. That's good. We hope to come back sometime. The rules are we have 1 hour for all the people who want to participate. You must fill out one of these forms. They're back there in the corner. If you have not, please do that now and bring it up to me. Don't worry about walking in front of somebody else. Just bring it on up. The rules are 5 minutes per person. So if you could be, but we have about a dozen right now. We only have an hour total. So if you could be as efficient as possible in making your statement. What else? I will be the timer. And please state your name and address when you come up to the podium. And I'm going to go back and forth between the two items. We have two different items. So we'll start out with Mr. Scott Rinder. Scott?
What a deal. Good evening. My name is Scott Bittner. I'm a member of the Hensley Township Board of Trustees, and my family and I farm northwest of Champaign in Hensley and Mahomet Townships on the same land that my aunt and uncle and grandparents and great-grandparents farmed before us. You should have received copies of the letter from Hensley Township to the County Board stating the reasons for our opposition to the map amendment and the special use permit. You know that we raised as important issues spot zoning, as this property is surrounded on all sides by farmland, public safety, and preserving the existing character that includes issues like further fragmenting farmland. That the neighbors most immediately affected have testified against this was also considered. I'm an advocate for success in Champaign County. I count service to public and private organizations as important and have served as president of the Champaign County Farm Bureau Board of Directors on my church council, as has my wife. Our two daughters have both served as president of the same Mahomet 4-H Club my grandmother used to lead. My uncle served as president of the Fisher School Board and my grandfather president of the Champaign County Fair Board, among many other things. These points have been made relevant because the developers have stated that I and other members of the township board are against any new growth in the township. We know this to be true because there is a flyer that says, unfortunately, the Hensley Township Board does not want any new growth in the township. I suppose in some contexts that overstatements are a useful device in convincing people to support you. The presidential campaigns might be a good example. But most Americans find it deplorable when those statements are made and then found out to be untrue. To listen to the developers, you would think that the township has a big red rubber stamp that says protest and that it is used so often that we have to buy stamps by the gross. In fact, the township has formally protested exactly one time, and this is that time. To my recollection, since the Plan Commission was established by the Township Board has opposed only one other development, and that's opposed as opposed to protest. That was a Hindu temple for the same reasons that we protest this 11,000-square-foot event center. Only the reasons against this are so much stronger, a more intense use, and a significant increase in traffic on an already demonstrably dangerous road. As to traffic safety, the township letter should again serve as a resource in your decision-making. I would add that there are people in this room that have been involved in bad accidents or near misses on Dewey Fisher Road. When we move a combine or tractors from other fields to this road, we do so only after people have made it to work or cleared after business hours are done, and never in football game day traffic. The QOT study purchased by the developers is an in-house study and should not have been used by the county. Even if it was allowed, it should have been discarded as evidence is woefully incomplete, and again, you can refer to the township letter. It is now a matter of public record that serious safety concerns have been raised. If there are an increase in the number and severity of accidents, who will the victims sue? The developer? The county? If a turn lane must be added, will taxpayers foot the bill? Another issue raised by developers is need. In fact, they purport that to demonstrate need by saying, again, this is from a flyer that they've sent out, soliciting letters to be sent to you. You're a resident of Champaign County and have looked for places to hold events with slim choices. Slim choices are their words. I guess if I were one of the 43 banquet facilities listed in the 2012 Yellow Pages or one of the 62 caterers, I might question the developer's statement. Even if there were an insufficient number of banquet centers and catering facilities, I would question the placement of this one. A map of Champaign County shows thousands and thousands and thousands of acres in this county that are contiguous to existing development around Champaign-Urbana and other municipalities, not to mention the Route 150 corridor, which pledged all the acreage between Champaign and Mahomet for more commercial items. One final point on the subject of competition. Other competing private for-profit facilities have paid the going rate for development land. Think here about the Holiday Inn, Stone Creek, and other restaurants and hotels. It is tantamount to crony capitalism, then, to benefit this developer by supporting the conversion of a rural residence and farmland to build an 11,000-square-foot event center.
15 seconds.
To close, some has been made of the very little farmland that is taken out of production for this event center. This is much more about placing an intense urban use into rural Hensley Township. A 40-acre subdivision could add less traffic and noise and future conflict than having up to 400 folks over weekend after weekend, event after event. An 11,000-square-foot event center will not be built, not to be used. I urge you to reject the petition for these reasons.
Mr. James Kilgore.
Good evening. James Kilgore, 511 South Draper Avenue, Champaign. We've been discussing this jail now for months, and certain red herrings keep resurfacing as a reason to build a $20 million facility. One of these is the issue of gender. We do have a problem of gender inequity, but before anyone starts building new pods at the satellite and throwing millions at this problem, I decided last night to do a quick study of the women who are in custody at the county jail. I went to the county jail website and looked at the profile of every woman there. This is what I found, though I might be off by one or two because some people are on electronic monitoring. The number of women charged with murder, with attempted murder, with sex crimes, with armed robbery, with assault of any kind, or any crime involving a weapon or bodily harm in the county jail is zero. Not one woman in there with a crime of violence. The number of women charged with driving on a revoked or suspended license, 8. DUIs, 5. Trespass, 1. Possession of drugs, 4. Theft, 3. Theft of labor services, 1. Credit card fraud, 1. One woman's only charge was resisting arrest. I wonder what she was supposed to be arrested for. The only serious charges were 2 burglary charges, but one of those was to be released after serving a month, and the other had a bail set of $2,000, so they couldn't have been very serious. There were two domestic battery charges, one combined with resisting arrest and criminal damage to property. But note that battery in these cases is a misdemeanor. It is not assault. And examples of battery, according to the University of Illinois Student Legal Services, are hair pulling, slapping, pushing, any offensive touching of a person. Battery does not include serious violence involving weapons or bodily harm. And the last serious charge was financial exploitation of the elderly. What does this information tell us? That the issue of gender inequity can be handled by a minimum security facility. There is no need for these women to be held in a high security setting as they are now. Across this country, in federal, state, and county facilities, those charged with nonviolent crimes are held in such dormitories. We don't need to be talking about lines of sight and electrified fences and state-of-the-art cameras and control center technology when dealing with these women. If in the future we do get women with serious charges, we won't need a whole big pod at the satellite to house them. Achieving sight and sound separation for a few women won't cost $20 million. We can refer back to the recommendation of the NIC report 2011, pages 11 to 12, that the county and the sheriff explore acquiring one or more small manufactured buildings, possibly utilizing donated construction trailers that are not being utilized due to reductions in construction activities within the county to provide flexibility for dormitory space. So why is this issue so crucial now? Because you are about to choose a consultant. If the firm that you choose is tied to an architect, they have a fundamental conflict of interest. They will recommend high-cost, high-security building because it will make them money. They're not interested in prefab dorms, especially donations. Two, business is bad right now for prison and jail builders. Prisons and jails are closing across the country. States and counties are cutting back. Opportunities to build are drying up. Builders who 5 years ago wouldn't have sneezed at a $20 million county jail will jump at the chance to dip into the trough of our taxpayers' dollars. But a big, huge, expensive jail is not what we need in this county, not to solve the gender problem, not to solve any issues related to criminal justice. We need alternatives to incarceration, not big construction projects. Thank you.
Lauren Murray.
Good evening. Good evening. My name is Lauren Murray, and my sister Annie and I own LA Gourmet Catering. I wanted to just tell you a little bit about ourselves. As sophomores in college, we decided we'd one day like to own a catering company. And that year, our dad bought the first piece of kitchen equipment we ever had. And from that moment on, we were two girls with a dishwasher and a dream. We spent the next 2 years buying old kitchen equipment, cleaning it up, and building a commercial kitchen alongside our dad. In 2006, we both graduated from the University of Illinois College of ACES with degrees in food science and human nutrition, and we opened business in September of that year. We've worked our tails off to provide high-quality products and services to this county. Those first few years, Annie and I truly were LA Gourmet Catering. We worked around the clock to make this business work. Actually, we still work around the clock, but we have far exceeded our intentions. We hope to create a business that would provide us with somewhere to work, and we have managed to create a company that has made our employees, that our family, and our clients are our friends. We are so grateful for the people who took a chance and hired us. Each day, we book new events, and each day we turn away clients when our community lacks the facilities to meet their needs. As a small business, it's disheartening to lose business to other areas. This summer alone, we've traveled to McLean, DeWitt, Ford, Iroquois counties to pull together events and makeshift venues because we did not have the space to offer in this area. But let me share with you why the rule setting is so important to us. Generations ago, our ancestors settled on our family farm a few miles north of this location. Our mom's family farm is a few miles north of that, and our grandma's family farm is a few miles just south of this. When our grandpa graduated from high school, his dad sat him down and said, you can either go to college and I'll pay for it, or you can buy more land with this money. And our grandpa decided to purchase more land, but he gave the same option to his kids. My dad went to college but then returned, and we have the utmost respect for him for returning and maintaining the family tradition. My siblings and I have been working on that farm since we are old enough to hold a hoe and walk a row. It is on that soil that we learned the hard work ethic and unending spirit of the original entrepreneur, and that's the farmer. On October 17th, 2009, I rode in my dad's John Deere 8330T with my new husband, also a farmer, to the reception tent that we put in my parents' front yard. See, that was my childhood dream, to embrace the land that meant so much for generations and celebrate the generations that danced there before me. This is the experience that we can provide to the next farmer's daughter and beyond. We are asking to share the land and an experience that is not achievable elsewhere. We have met the expectations and will adhere to the special conditions put in place by the ZBA with their positive recommendation to approve this project. We've addressed drainage with plans approved by the county engineers, public safety with personally paying for a QOT study that was ordered by the county and ZBA, not us, and received permits from the health department and plans from the fire department, and worked with architects and landscapers to create a building that will enhance the landscape. This is a $2 million project, $2 million going directly into our local economy to build this space and attract incredible events to our town. We hope to add at least 4 full-time positions and many more part-time positions to our staff. Beyond jobs, this venue brings an entire different level of increased revenue to this area. One event brings guests that will book our hotel rooms, order flowers from our florists, buy their dresses, their tuxes, and eat in our restaurants and shop in our stores. The economic impact can be so valuable in our community and to this township. We spend a lot of time attracting clients to the beauty of our area, and we hope that your vote yes tonight will allow us to continue sharing the community we love dearly. We've created jobs in a time when there's recession and despair. We've created a not-for-profit to reduce waste and help hungry families. We're trying to create a gathering place that celebrates where we live and what we are about. 8 years ago, we were those two girls with a dishwasher and a dream. And now we stand before you asking for the opportunity to continue to provide our services to the community and enhance all that we have to offer. Thank you.
Martell Miller.
I'm here to talk about the sheep. Sorry about that. I just happened to look at the shirt I had that I got on today in the bathroom just a few seconds ago. And it's about civil rights. And 40-some years ago, black people got their civil rights, voting rights, and all that. And 40 years ago, young black people wasn't in prisons. We were less than probably 1 or 2% of federal prisons, less than 0.25% of any state prisons. Now, 40 years later, we up in the 70s, 80% of prisons. County jails, 70% of county jails after we got our rights. We don't need more jails in this community. We need more programs in this community. We need more our kids going to Head Starts. If you're going to put $20 million in something, you put it in education. You know, our jail downtown is one of probably the newest jails in the state. Most of our jails in county jails are 75 years old in the state of Illinois. And they saying our jail downtown is outdated. Maybe the way some of these people are thinking, it's outdated in our community. You know, unemployment of black males in this county, 18 to 35, is up in 40%. But I think the county should look at some of this, it's invested in how to train, get employment, you know. And when we talk about jails, I know if we build a jail, it's going to be filled. It ain't going to be empty, you know. We got some numbers on the IMC site. You go to IMC Abandoned and look at some of these numbers, and you'll see what I'm talking about and where some of these crimes come from. We got an area in this community. It's Guard Hills. place called Hedge Road. Don't have a sidewalk, but it got jaywalking tickets. You need to figure that out. It won't be hard. Drive through campus, you see more jaywalking, more ordinance broken. I about hit a guy on the skateboard after I let people cross the street today. He comes across the street on Middle Green Street with a skateboard. You know, they don't get tickets out there. You know, they're in their 20s. We got kids getting tickets, 15 and 16. And I just told you what the unemployment rate is in our community. And they're writing them to their parents because the kids ain't got a job. And I'm looking at all these ears and eyes in this court, I mean, in this room here, and I'm glad to see that we got people here just listening, you know. And it's time for our county. I talk to the city a lot. It's time for our county to take a look at some of these things. And to put $20 million in the jail, it'll be a tragedy for this community. And I'm going to just leave it like that and just leave y'all with a time to think about that. Thank you.
Ann Murray.
Good evening. My name's Annie Murray. Lauren has told you about where we come from. I just want to take a moment to talk to you about how we ended up here and where we hope to go. Turning down business, as she mentioned, gets old very fast, especially when you have the support of an eager staff wanting to grow, wanting to become part of a potentially life-changing project for all of them. So 2 years ago, we started honing in on what the market demands. Clients in Champaign-Urbana were constantly asking us for a space that could hold up to 400 people, but more often than not, be comfortable and personable for 100 people. This space needs to be conveniently located with adequate parking. And finally, they want a space that embraces the Midwest. And don't forget the main reason our phone rings, because clients want good food. We started looking for properties very seriously in 2010. We looked at countless properties. We literally had a team of realtors that was a accumulation of different companies or realtors working together to find a space that met the needs of what the market was demanding. We looked in Champaign, out of Champaign, Ag 1, Ag 2, vacant, for rent, developed, not yet developed, perfect, not available, commercial, residential, and my favorite, but without any support from Lauren, rustic. You know, the type of property that needs torn down, but I really thought it would be the perfect event space with a lot of money going into it. In November 2011, we found this property. It was ideal, almost. It was too rustic and run down. 10 acres located 2 miles north of Champaign, 4 miles from our kitchen, on a main road, conveniently located close to churches and hotels eager for business, and a client's dream come true. Finally, we had found a space. We went to zoning in November and applied for a map amendment, special use permit, bit the bullet, bought the property. By February, we had an architectural drawing, an engineering plan by Phoenix Engineering, a septic waste permit by the county, and we had overwhelming support from Hensley Township, residents in Hensley Township. At the March zoning meeting, this is the building that we hope to build. This is the building that we were hoping to build behind my house. I live on the property. At the March zoning meeting, we were surprised to find out that Hensley Township Board had made the decision to protest the project. We left the meeting feeling a little defeated, I'm going to be honest, but soon our phone started ringing. Our neighbors had rallied behind us, signing a petition asking the board to drop the protest. Within one day, 45 neighbors and landowners had signed the petition. The signatures that we collected represent 7,500 acres on the east side of the township. As you look around the room tonight, notice there are a lot of people here that support this project and are committed to stand behind LA Gourmet. There are many lessons that we've learned, and I've told our neighbors this before. I get chills thinking about how supportive they've been. They've opened their doors to us. They've listened to the plans. They want young people to succeed, and they've gone to too many meetings to support us. And tonight is no different. They're all here again. We addressed and provided solutions for the Hensley Planning Commission's concerns. Their concerns originally included drainage, safety, preserving prime farm ground, as well as preserving the natural character of Hensley Township. The drainage plan for our building was designed by a professional and then approved by the county's engineer, Burns and Clancy. Regarding safety, we want it to be safe too. We put a high value on the safety of our customers and those around us. We paid $5,000 for a traffic study requested by the ZBA to put any worries to rest. The traffic study was completed by Kuwatz, traffic experts hired by the county. The addendum that you received from Hensley Township regarding the traffic study was not compiled by an expert. Kuwatz received the same analysis as you before the zoning case was complete and offered information that disproved the township's analysis completely. LA Gourmet has happily offered to comply with any safety recommendations made by Kuwatz. Regarding Farm Prime Ground, I brought a visual aid to show the land where the building will sit. This is my backyard. This is my house. And it's a yard. There's a ton of trees. There's a pond. There's a minimal amount of farmland coming out of production in order for this building to happen. The gardens and the pond around the building will be so exquisite that it will seem as though the building is just part of a wonderful landscape. We will be able to utilize the grounds not only as a beautiful landscape, but a means for fresh produce and herbs. This will provide citizens a completely unique experience. The stone, cedar, and glass facade of the building will be spectacular when guests arrive, yet it will sit among a beautiful landscape of hedge and flowers to ensure a secluded setting. Lucky for us, we have the support of the Hensley community. They would be proud to have this in their neighborhood. We have done everything in our power to make this project appealing to the Hensley Township Board. However, even after they called a special meeting last week to discuss the protest, where all citizens of Hensley were notified in the same manner, not one person in a room of 29 people spoke out against our project, and the board still voted to make a formal protest. In fact, all the people there spoke in favor, and the board still decided that. In closing, it is my hope that, as the facts are spelled out for you tonight, each of you supports this building. Ask any client, any colleague in the industry, any customer that we've had, ask any employee, heck, ask our U of I professors, ask any neighbor in the room, and they will assure you that we are perfectionists. LA Gourmet stands behind their work. Our company represents quality and an unmatched desire to impress. This project will be no different. This dream can happen. Thank you.
Mr. Belden Fields.
Some of what I'm going to say I've said before. I want to address a broader issue than just the jail construction, but the issue of public safety and how we think about public safety, what we mean by public safety, and what our priorities should be in regard to public safety. I certainly agree with the sheriff that the present situation in the jail, particularly for people with physical or mental problems, is not appropriate. That is to say that in regard to people who have mental difficulties, there is no real treatment which is offered. It is strictly crisis intervention. And it seems to me that we ought to be especially concerned about how people who are incarcerated and are vulnerable are treated when we assume the responsibility for holding and depriving these people of their liberty. Now, I will concede that in some cases it is necessary to deprive people with mental difficulties of their liberty if they pose a danger to other people. But I think in many cases there can be alternatives to that, working with all of the wonderful mental health organizations that we have in our community. In rethinking how we're dealing with public safety and how we're defining public safety, I would say the key here would be to look at vulnerable segments of our populations. Martel has already referred to one of them, at-risk youth, particularly in the African-American community, who do not have adequate services. There are some very good services, but they're not adequate to the needs, educational and recreational services. Another one are the elderly, and here I want to come back to the issue of the nursing home and make the argument again that if we are hit by a very serious situation with Medicaid, which had been considered by people who brought up a previous motion in regard to the nursing home, there we have a very serious public safety issue, because those people are going to be out on the street, particularly if they're Medicaid people. The private nursing homes are not going to be able to, they're not going to deal with them. They'd be able to, but the financial incentive wouldn't be there to do it. So I would like to ask Chairman Weibel if he could get a ruling from the state's attorney's office as to whether or not there could not be a fund established. It could be used either on a grant or a loan basis in the case that the county nursing home encounters what we hope it won't encounter, but in the case that it does encounter a very, very serious situation in regard to the state's non-payment or extremely late payments of Medicaid. I want to end just with this thought about the consultant here, and I would argue that the Institute for Law and Policy Planning be the appropriate one. There was an architectural theorist named Panofsky who coined this statement, form follows function. By that, what he meant is you have to decide what you want. You have to do an analysis of what your real needs are, what your priorities are. And after you do that, then you go to the architectural question. You don't jump immediately to the architectural question because you're building without conceptualizing. It makes no sense to do that. So again, Mr. Chairman, my reading is of the law that this money would be available. You don't have to go for a referendum for it. So please do consult the state's attorney's office and see if we're on sound ground there, because that opens up great possibilities. Thank you very much.
Gwendolyn Wilson.
Good evening. My name is Gwen Wilson, and I own NUPTA, the Wedding and Event Planners. I've been in this business for 9 years, and I'm here to speak in favor of the proposed LA Gourmet Retreat Center. As a wedding planner and member of the Association of Bridal Consultants, I've worked with many local families to plan events that are special and individual. More than half of the weddings I planned have budgets of around or over $44,000. The wedding and event industry is important to many types of local businesses with figures like that. A successful event venue can impact the local economy through not only the venue, but hotel rooms, restaurants, formal wear, transportation, rental companies, and specialty vendors employing many people and bringing visitors here who might never have a chance to visit our county. I'd like to make 3 points. First, there really is a need for a space like this. Second, Lauren and Annie are uniquely positioned to build and operate a facility such as this successfully and responsibly. And third, the design of this plan that they have is really beautiful, and it's creating a secluded experience for guests. LA Gourmet will also be creating a buffer to minimize any impact on the people who live in the area. Just this month, I was trying to find a location for a wedding reception for this fall, but after a dozen calls, we just couldn't find any place that the couple could settle on that met their needs. Having a unique option like this would offer people not just one more place to hold their event, but it would provide a completely different type of experience and atmosphere. When families are looking for a reception location and cannot find anything available, they are likely to decide to go outside the county and reserve a destination site or look for locations in Bloomington or other nearby towns, taking the revenue not just for their reception, but for hotel rooms, restaurants, and all the other wedding expenditures. What's really special about this location and the idea setting is that it's rural. And it offers space where a lot of the things that you have in town do not. Lauren and Annie are from a farm family, and their father, Jack Murray, runs a Champaign County centennial farming operation, and they grew up learning to appreciate and care for the land. The retreat won't take any prime farmland out of production, and I know they'll work to improve crop production on the property even further. Everything about this plan demonstrates the way they would steward the property. For example, they conducted a feasibility study on several pieces of property before settling on this one. They've already done the necessary engineering work to ensure that drainage isn't a problem, for their neighbors or the surrounding farmland. They're going to plant at least 100 trees to create a lush green space that also buffers noise and light from leaving the property. They're installing as few lights as possible to further reduce the chance that neighbors will be affected, and they're creating parking areas that ensure traffic can flow smoothly and without disruption. As a member of Master Gardeners, I'm really excited about the landscaping they have planned for the property. In addition to the pear trees they're planting, they'll be growing many of the vegetables and herbs that they'll use in the meals they serve at the retreat. Even the septic field will be covered by colorful wildflowers, just like it would have been 100 years ago. Very few venues offer a truly unique and rural setting like this, and it simply isn't attainable within the city limits. I think this retreat will be especially appealing to rural families planning gatherings for special occasions. The picturesque nature of the countryside will be a draw for people who share a rural heritage and who want to share their passion and with nature with their friends. The fact that the building blends into the landscape will make it more beautiful for guests and less noticeable to neighbors all at once. Lauren and Annie are good businesswomen and even better citizens. They offer a quality experience for each guest, and they always go above and beyond to make sure that events are memorable and special. In all the years I've done business with them, they've never, ever taken advantage of anyone. In fact, just the opposite. They are gracious, accommodating, and unflappable, and I'll tell you, dealing with a crazy bride, that's not an easy job. They provide good jobs for many people, they donate their time and talents to several local service organizations, and they operate one of the most upscale businesses in central Illinois. The proposed LA Gourmet Event Retreat is taking a property that had become run down and creating a beautiful, sustainable, useful gathering place that will become an asset to our county. Thank you for considering their proposal.
Jeremy Bomberger.
Got to say, I really like the juxtaposition of the two issues we're talking about. Tonight, the county board stands on the edge of two pivotal decisions, I guess. But the one I'm talking about is in regard to the remediation of the conditions of the downtown jail. During this meeting, you will designate the top-ranked firm of the consultants you interviewed on June 26th. I will admit that I was curious about the agenda, which reads that the selection is for consulting services for Champaign County Jail Needs Assessment, whereas the RFP was for a needs assessment study of Champaign County Corrections. This is the latest example of a recurring attempt to narrow the scope of the county board's discourse on this issue. I hope it is not lost on the county board that the most consistent advocates for the notion that this is purely a facilities issue are also those with the most invested in the current shape of the criminal justice system in Champaign, the sheriff and the state's attorney. What status quo is the jail space improvement project planning team protecting? At this point, the image of the typical inmate in Champaign County Jail, as portrayed by the sheriff and the state's attorney, is that of an individual for whom there is no choice but incarceration, an individual who is a career criminal and a danger to the community. I can provide citations for those conclusions. However, in all of the discussions I have heard, their evidence is anecdotal. At no point has any quantitative evidence been offered on the proportion of the average daily jail population with prior convictions, nor has there been any hard evidence provided on how many individuals commit further offenses while out on bond or diversion programs. One trend that hard numbers do reveal is that our average daily jail population peaked in 2004 and has been going down steadily since 2007. Despite this, the planning team assumes, before the conversation even begins, before the study has even taken place, that no matter what programs are instituted, no appreciable change in the average daily population of the jail can be achieved. Their assumptions allow for only one viable conclusion. Bed space in the county jail must at least be maintained, if not expanded. For them, alternatives to incarceration are nothing more than tweaks. I want the county board to consider carefully if it wants to stand behind such a short-sighted understanding of public safety and criminal justice. What do we want our county to look like in 15 to 20 years? If cages are the primary tool we use to address rising rates of mental and medical health concerns in the criminal justice system now, just as it was 20 years ago, what can we expect 20 years hence? The county has an opportunity here to establish a foundation for a safer, cheaper, and more humane approach to public safety. But that opportunity will be squandered if the firm chosen to carry out the needs assessment restricts its focus in the same way the planning team historically has. It is worthy of note that the planning team shortlist, its firm selections for the June 26 interviews, shared their focus on an evaluation whose purpose was determining the nature of the assumed investment into the physical infrastructure of Champaign County Corrections. Only after outcry from the rest of the board was there another voice added to the roster. The attempts by the planning team, a self-constituted, non-transparent planning body, to marginalize the importance and potential impacts of alternatives to incarceration reflect their limited perspective on this issue. The county board is the only group which can ensure a truly comprehensive needs assessment takes place, and it can do this by hiring a firm which will consider the full range of options for the improvement of our criminal justice system as a whole, not just the jail space itself.
Paige Kirby.
Paige Kirby, 307 North Prairie Street, Champaign. I am reading a letter on behalf of Kendra Corson, client of LA Gourmet Catering. She speaks with words I couldn't have said better myself. It is my pleasure to provide a letter of recommendation for Lauren and Aaron Murray, owners of LA Gourmet Catering. As the event planner for all the events within the College of Agricultural Environmental Sciences at the University of Illinois, I have come to know Annie and Lauren quite well, as our college has used LA Gourmet time and time again for countless events. After spending 13 years planning various events on this campus, LA Gourmet has by far the highest quality, highest caliber catering in Champaign County. From their extensive menu to the presentation of product to their excellent customer service, there's not a better caterer in the state. LA Gourmet does not have one flaw or weak component. They're simply perfect in all that they do. For this reason, and this reason alone, they are always my first choice when I'm planning one of the 20-plus events for the College of Aces, which they hold each academic year. However, while the University of Illinois is one of the largest institutions in the Big Ten Conference, and while Champaign and Urbana are both fairly substantial cities in size, there are very few venues to hold events. The university has strict guidelines with area facilities and hotels that enforce catering with one approved caterer. While there are some approved venues in Champaign-Urbana, with all the events that take place within the campus community, there aren't enough cities or sites to hold all of the many events. Even with a university of such size and prominence in a community with great culture and influence, the event locations are very few and far between, especially on special event weekends when multiple colleges within the university are planning various events. It is truly exciting to learn about the new event center that LA Catering is in the process of planning. This has many advantages for so many folks within Champaign County, the university, and the surrounding areas. As you may or may not know, events come at a very large price tag, and events are very multifaceted. One event can affect many businesses, including area hotels, restaurants, and entertainment venues. In addition, out-of-town guests will also frequent local retail outlets and area gas stations. By building the new LA Gourmet Event Center, this building will also provide additional tax base to the township and the county, as well as county sales tax revenue. With Annie and Lauren's background in the College of Aces and the university as a whole, I am very grateful that they have chosen to remain in this community to share their talents. It is also interesting to note that the majority of LA Gourmet's current staff has degrees from the University of Illinois. Frankly, I believe a large number of graduates were drawn to their business because of their warmth, intelligence, and genuine passion for what they do and what they can teach others. Annie and Lauren are excellent business leaders with the work ethic, personality, and experience that will serve them very well in this new business opportunity. They are the utmost professionals, and they have the intelligence and motivation to accomplish any goal. Please feel free to contact Kendra Corson, and I have her information if you'd like to hear more. Thank you.
Bobby Trist.
Bobby Trist. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. 503 North Freer in Champaign. And I'm speaking on the jail issue. As a mental health professional, I share the concern of the Sheriff's Department about the increasing numbers of mentally ill that they have had to deal with. They have neither the specialized training nor the adequate accommodation to treat or house these inmates. These factors make the sheriff's work and his department more difficult. I do not believe that we have more mentally ill people in our society than we had before. Rather, I believe it is the lack of appropriate resources that land more of them in the criminal justice system. I cut my teeth at Elgin State Hospital and Ypsilanti State Hospital in Michigan in the early 60s as a college student. And when those huge state institutions were shuttered in the 60s, the plan was that there would be local mental health centers and group housing to care for the people that were released, to care for them in the community. This plan was only partially realized, and in recent years, the programs we do have lost funding. Some have shut down, and those remaining are severely stressed. The county has made a good start with drug court and mental health court. These alternatives need to be greatly expanded, and assignment to these programs needs to be speeded up such that inmates are not sitting in jail for weeks, as I have heard can happen, while they wait for the assessment that will determine assignment. Rather than building a jail satellite, a better use of taxpayer funds would be minimum security group housing, perhaps a specialized wing added to Prairie Center's inpatient program, for instance, or a halfway house for the mentally ill. With adequate resources and supervision, many of these people would never need to end up in the booking area. I believe Prairie Center is private, nonprofit, but there are many examples of public-private cooperative ventures. These are just possible examples. It is my understanding that prisoners deemed mentally ill are isolated from the general population in rooms with doors instead of bars. This, too, concerns me. It is well known that isolation worsens mental illness. If one is already paranoid, for instance, a sealed-off single cell just confirms their worst fears. One recent inmate reported that it was only access to books that kept him or her sane during a short stint of isolation. And that was a short stint. In addition, there are many mentally ill people who can function very well in the general society. One person I know has had 3 hospitalizations over the decades for attempted suicide, yet this person is a very effective and sought-after public school teacher. Another I know has been hospitalized numerous times on the local psych ward, but once this person's medication has been stabilized, he or she is a respected elder in their church, and their advice is sought out by other members. A friend's teenage daughter has been ill for over a year while the family has tried to determine the cause. On-call doctors are the best, the daughter told me, because they look with new eyes. That's a direct quote. It is also true that most scientific breakthroughs come from scientists outside of that particular specialty because they see outside the box of that narrow discipline. I believe an assessment by a firm that does not actually build jails is best equipped to do a needs assessment of our needs here. They have no vested interest in recommending or not recommending a building. As such, I think they would be more open to innovative ideas that might make it unnecessary to build at all or to build a jail as such. I believe we, too, need to think outside the box. Thank you.
Susan Warsaw.
Good evening. I'm Susan Warsaw. I live in Hensley Township, and yes, you need to change your hat again back to L.A. Gourmet. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you tonight as I represent the constituents of Hensley Township who are present and many of those who were unable to attend this evening. And if that's any comfort, I'm the last speaker on L.A. Gourmet tonight.
Oh, there's one more, sorry.
Really?
Go ahead.
Oh, you just ruined my speech. No. But But we hope that our last message, well, our second to the last message, is the one that puts you on the constituent side of this fence in the very difficult decision that must be made this evening. You, as the committee of the whole, are L.A. Gourmet's catering kickoff to the future, as evidenced by the Zoning Board's approval and recommendation to you that a change in zoning be made from Ag 1 to Ag 2 for this parcel of land. At a time when unemployment is so high and the births of new businesses are so low, this is an amazing opportunity in so many ways, not only for Hensley Township, but for Champaign County. The Hensley Township Board has worked hard to protect the integrity and landscape of its township, and we, the constituents, really appreciate all their hard work. Their main objective for the constituency is to maintain the roads within the township, and with that, they certainly do a fine job with what funds they have to work with. The majority of the constituency is supporting this new business, but for some reason, the board appears to have taken on this protest without the majority support of the landowners of Hensley Township. It is our hope that the board will realize that, although it is appreciated that they are maintaining caution regarding new businesses in the area, that in this particular instance, it really doesn't affect the obligations of our township board regarding access and roads and other things. Their concern appears really rebounding off the thought that Hensley is losing farmland. No farm has been transferred or vacated for this project. And more importantly, we feel that without more growth in the area, without more funds to maintain our township, and without the dreams and hopes of the young people of today, the ability to do more for Hensley Township will be very difficult in the future, making our tomorrow very expensive. This new business adventure has been created without changing any use of farmland, and yet adding something so new and different that it will add so much more for so many people. All the board will accomplish by succeeding with this protest might be to upset its constituency and in the end force higher taxes for the landowners to make up for what this particular new business could do for the township and the county if this golden opportunity for something as unique as this is not taken advantage of now. L.A. Gourmet, Lauren and Annie, is an exceptionally successful company run by these two women who are from a prominent family in the area and who are highly educated in the catering business. Their food is absolutely excellent, proven in the growth of their company, which hasn't even had to advertise. The company has grown so much that it is now time to move to the next level and enhance the already successful business. In choosing an area for this venue, they chose a rural spot that has all the qualities and beauty of the gorgeous rural landscape. The new building will provide that prairie feeling, and the experience will be giving the guests of Champaign County and elsewhere a country feeling that cannot be captured in any of the venues within the city of Champaign or Urbana. It won't compare to being in a room with four walls and a roof, no matter how well that room is decorated. This will be a totally new and unique experience for everyone because there is no other business opportunity like it in this county. And that is really what this is all about. The word of mouth potential and reputation for LA Gourmet's business is enormous. Missing this opportunity would be a huge mistake for all of us. Personally, I must tell you that I've spent half my life living and learning a new culture in central Illinois, and I'm still learning every day. I don't think I'll ever understand all about the rural life, but I sure love it here. I have in-laws and neighbors who farm, and it's so much fun when they let me join them during planting and harvest. When my husband Ron and I have company from my hometown in New York City, these farmers are kind enough to let our guests ride that combine and see how it works. To this day, it's unlike anything those of us from the East Coast have ever seen before. Where I come from, beans come in a can, and so does corn.
Time to wrap it up.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Really? Annie and Lori, I'm sorry.
Chris Evans.
5 minutes does go fast. Chris Evans, District 8, and I guess for continuity, I'm going to argue for Gourmet Catering in the jail. But those that know me know I'm not going to do that. I just, again, remind a little bit of the facts. We are currently, this county government is $50 million in debt till the year 2029 for things like $29.5 million still owed on that courthouse. We don't have a lot of wiggle room for another $22 million maximum security jail project, which Kimmy and Associates would be glad to build. They need the business. It's been a little disappointing the way the jail expansion team has been behaving in an undemocratic way. We weren't allowed to appoint their membership, and when we suggested that this would be have a large impact on the African-American community, a prominent member of their team said we didn't need any token members, whatever she said, the off-color mark that she made. And then including that, we didn't get a chance to have any Open Meetings Act applied to that committee, even though they're acting as an advisory body to this board. And so it's been kind of disappointing. And now we learn that they don't like the way the votes came up on the fair competition that we had for all the consultants. And rather than talk about all that, and I hope that you sort it out tonight and make the right decision, we need an objective, independent, and fair analysis of this criminal justice system. Kimmy and Associates have been consulting with the jail project planning team since last year by email. It's clear that he's angling for business and big architecture business. So I would suggest he has a major conflict of interest. In regards to the county administrator's comments to WDWS in January about we're building a new jail because we have more mentally ill people, I'm going to leave with you an email written by Harmony Gurley, who is the mental health nurse at the county jail. And this is an email that she wrote to Captain Alan Jones on January 11th of this year, where she goes into great detail and describes the effects of putting mentally ill people in the county jail. And she repeats over and over how easily exploited they are, how their symptoms are exasperated, they're subject to paranoia, increased sense of violence. They have to be put on suicide watch. They don't do well in the county jail. And that was an argument that she was making to suggest maybe a separate pod would be in order for the mentally ill patients. Then she called the National Institute of Corrections later that month and got this advice. And she talked to a lady about, you know, what would it be better if we built a pod for the mentally ill. She writes back to the sheriff. This is Harmony Gurley talking now. She said, "We talked briefly about the design of such a pod. She also gave some insight into the risks and benefits of having a medical mental health pod. I found most interesting her cautions about this type of housing and how with the state of Medicare and closure of community mental health services, a specialized pod may lead to more arrests for minor violations. A police officer may be aware of an individual's psychiatric history, thus arrest him knowing he can be treated in the jail." So it seems to me that we are using the jail as a mental health facility. And if there's anything we actually might need to build, would be a mental hospital, or somehow expand what's going on at the pavilion, somehow expand what's going on at Pervina. But jailing people because they're mentally ill is real close to a class action lawsuit. We don't put people in jail for being in wheelchairs. We don't put people in jail for being developmentally disabled. The state's attorney tried to suggest that we prosecute the mentally ill because they're so darn dangerous and use the incident at the bus terminal with the law professor as an example. When the task force questioned Harmony Gurley, who is the mental health nurse there daily, what the charges are for the mentally ill, she said 80% of the mentally ill are there for low-level misdemeanors. So we need an analysis. I'll wrap it up right now. We need an analysis that is fair and objective and is not angling to get a building contract. Thank you for your time.
Catherine Eller.
Eller.
Sorry.
Hello, I'm Catherine Eller. My address is 1078 County Road, 2200 North, Champaign. I own farmland in the two sections just that touch the section where LA Gourmet wants to put their event center. And I'm speaking in favor of LA Gourmet developing their event center. And I was thrilled when the zoning board approved the change of zoning from zone one to zone two. And I was very upset with my Hensley Township board for protesting the change. The decision to remove this 10 acres of land was made from agriculture, from production agriculture, was made 28 years ago when the owner sold this strip of land and a house was built on it and trees were planted and so on. And I think it would be a wonderful addition to our township. I've lived there 50 years and in the same house, and I just think I'm looking forward to LA Gourmet being my neighbor. I think they will be good neighbors. Thank you.
Daryl Cruz? Daryl, you have about 2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Thank you. I'll see if I can read real fast. Tonight you have a commitment to keep, a commitment you made to yourselves, those working in the criminal justice system, and those citizens who find themselves in the criminal justice system, and especially to the taxpayers of Champaign County. Now is not the time to waver or backtrack on your commitment. Last spring, after much discussion and input, you approved a request for proposals to conduct a needs assessment for the Champaign County Corrections. You are to be commended for your diligence, because on pages 10 through 12 of the RFP, the scope of services highlight 9 specific points of information desired from the consultant you hire tonight. All 9 points are critically important to gaining a clear and factual accounting of our current situation and future options. Clearly, your intent is to collect more information, not less, about those aspects of the criminal justice system that directly affect and impact inmate population numbers needed for meaningful jail planning purposes. In a recent letter, Sheriff Walsh expressed a concern to the board about hiring an expert that specializes in jail efficiency. On the flip side, there is public concern that the board will hire a firm that specializes only in physical structures or facilities. This should not and cannot be an either-or choice. You know why both are needed. In several months, the information you seek tonight will be used to make some very important decisions on behalf of the citizens of Champaign County. Without a comprehensive report addressing all issues you have identified in the RFP, you will only find it more difficult to make decisions and explain them and justify them to the public. The jail is only one component of the criminal justice system. Improving public safety is not addressed simply by talking about jail expansion, concrete, and mortar. It is much more than that. Your RFP addresses many of these issues: alternatives to incarceration, needed inmate services, cost estimates and options, and downtown jail options. As you decide who to hire to conduct your needs assessment, do not limit or change your focus or goals. Keep your commitment to the scope of services outlined in your RFP. You need to hire the firm best able to meet all 9 services in the RFP. To do otherwise is to shortchange yourself and the citizens of Champaign County of the information needed to wisely manage taxpayers' money while addressing the identified problems and needs of our local criminal justice system.
Time's up. Thank you. Okay, communications from the board. Are there any communications from the board? Mr. Kibler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Champaign County Farm Bureau communicated to me that they'd like to send their kudos to the Sheriff's Department for an absolutely stellar job at helping them with their tractor ride and picnic from south side of the county up to basically central part of the county. So thank you to the Sheriff's Department for a job well done.
Any other announcements? All right, moving on to ELOC. Mr. Kurtz.
Good evening. We only have one item on our agenda. That would be 7A, zoning case 699 AM-11. Lauren Murray and Annie Murray, DBA LA Gourmet Catering, LLC Landover, John Murray. Request to amend the zoning map to change the zoning district designation from existing Ag 1 agriculture zoning district to Ag 2 agriculture zoning district to allow development of an event center authorized by the Zoning Board of Appeals in related case 700-S11. Do I have a motion? I have Mr. Quiddenberry. I have Mr. James as a second. I'd like to have discussion. Mr. O'Connor. I recognize Mr. O'Connor. I'm sorry. Okay, I thought we were in discussion there, Stephen. Okay. Mr. Schroeder.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Kurtz. I just want to remind the board that we've heard testimony tonight, and a lot of it's been basically drawn to the special use permit. And I want the board to recognize tonight that we're dealing with a map amendment. We're dealing with rezoning from Ag 1 to Ag 2. We're dealing from the standpoint of what are we going to create from a density standpoint. By right, from Ag 1 to Ag 2, we're only adding two things by right. That's a country club or a golf course or a breeding facility. That's all we're concerned about with tonight. We're adding other things, too, with the potential for special use permits. Don't get me wrong. There's another 30-some things that can be added for special uses in the Ag 2. 10 years I served this county on the ZBA, and I see a past president of ZBA sitting over here tonight who kept silent. So I know we were short on time, so that's probably what kept him in his seat. But I could tell you after 10 years of sitting on ZBA and 8 years now on the county board on ELOC committee in some form or another, that when we've looked in the past, in this county looked in the past at Ag 2 zoning, it's been considered a buffer zoning. But since I've been on this board, that's changed from a municipality standpoint. We don't have Champaign like we did for Prospect when we put that box store operation up north. When I was on ZBA and Jerry Wallace was chair, we dealt with that. And Jerry voted against it, by the way. But but it came to the county first. If Prospect wasn't there, the development north of 74 wasn't there today, Champaign would thumb their nose at us. We wouldn't have any say in it, and they would just develop it like they've done so many other things. They've leapfrogged developed all over the southwest side of the county. And it's a mess, and Savoy's part of the problem, too. But kudos to Urbana, Rantoul, St. Joe, and a lot of the other municipalities in this county who try to stay tight and contiguous with their development. They keep it tight to their lines of incorporation, and I appreciate that. But what we're dealing with tonight is an Ag 1 to an Ag 2. I was on ZBA when just a half mile south of there, we changed an Ag 2 from an Ag 1 with a special use permit so ASM could handle their operation down there and dry their soil. There's also a seed company back in the day, Thoroughbred Seed, used to operate, just disposed of that property, and now it's a sign company. This is not spot zoning. I don't know where this is coming from. I don't know. You know, if I was in Henley's Township, I would be terribly upset. I don't know how much this is costing Hensley Township, but out of 18 years, this is the most travesty I've ever seen. This is an insult. We're talking about a zoning change here, not a special use permit. And getting to Hensley Township, I don't know who did the traffic study, a Ms. McCall. There's no credentials in any of the information we got. But to start a static survey by saying, I felt, that's how you start a traffic study, I felt, really? All this has been negated by a Kuwatz study. Kuwatz is not in any way, I'm speechless, I am. The Kuwatz, and I'm sure some people don't even know what Kuwatz is. It's an independent way that this county, municipalities in this county, have a way to find out what traffic impacts there are. It's not affected by who pays for it. It's not perverted in that way. But tonight it was brought out that it was. And to call these people developers is just beyond me. You know, it's easy to say, why don't you go over here and put it over here? It was suggested, take it out to 150. Take it out there. We've got this study. And I was on ZBA when the study was done on the 150 corridor. But I can tell you about over 15 years ago, the Clapper boys, when Staples came calling to put a distribution center in, turned down $50,000 an acre. And I'm sure that's gone up since then. So it comes down to what's affordable. And to buy property and to do the things that you want to in this county. Because apparently we need to just shut everything off in this county. We'll just let Champaign just run through Scott Township however they want to, all the way to Pike County line if they want. But we don't say anything about that. Mosier and I went when they put that water treatment facility out there. They leapfrogged over a mile and a half and they put it out there. And the city council is told, well, the county doesn't have any way to put berms or require any kind of safety for those landowners out there who have no repercussions to the city of Champaign. They have no accountability to the people out there, the city council. But they've each got three members right now of the county board. Those people out there in Scott Township didn't have but three members of the county board to protect them. My point is this, and I'll wrap this up, is we've heard a lot of things tonight, but please, focus on what we're here to do, and that's rezoning case. The special use, when it gets to the ZBA, will be there to protect whatever public safety deemed necessary, provide buffers, provide a time of operation, to provide parking spaces, to provide traffic safety, to provide outdoor lighting, if any is allowed, or if there is lighting. This is the thing that the special use will do. So I thank you for listening to my rant.
Mr. Langenheim, and then Mr. James, then Mr. Carter.
Microphone,
please.
Saying that country clubs are allowed in Ag 2. I would like to ask, what is the substantive difference between an event center and a country club?
In operation.
Okay.
That's a good point. One actually I never considered, but it's a very good question. I think as a practical matter, you know, 10 acres may be too small for a country club, but people have made worse decisions. So.
All right, let's go in order here. We have Mr. James, then Mr. Carter, and Mr. John Jay.
Well, Jonathan took a third of my speech, but I would like to ask for a roll call vote.
All right, we'll have a roll call vote on that, second by Mr. Keebler. Let's continue discussion. We're up to Mr. Carter, please.
Yeah. I want to let you know, I read the letters, and I don't agree with the spot zoning bit. In fact, the matter, why we pay agencies to do a job for us if we don't believe in it? If we don't believe in them, we should get rid of them. not pay them to do a job, then discredit them for doing the job. So I think the young lady should have that dream and have that business. When I was a kid, I went to Carl Hospital, was a big old schoolhouse, setting up in the neighborhood. And it grew. Closed our streets. We had to work it out with them. We had problems. We gave them a 10-year tax credit. Now look at Carl Hospital. And I'm glad because I don't live too far. I can walk if I get sick, really. Don't get sick. But, you know, somebody always going to be unhappy. I don't care what you do. You can't please everybody. But you have to do the best you can and make the best choice. And I'd like to see us do that. And I'm going to vote.
Thank you, Mr. Carter. Mr. Jay?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't want to be outdone by Mr. Schrader. I was actually on the very first Zoning Board of Appeals, but I didn't last as long as he did. I think this case before us tonight is really pretty simple. This God-given, hardworking farm family been on this farm in this area for 130 years. It's a reasonable request by reasonable people trying to do something positive for not only Hensley Township, but for Champaign County. And I don't know how any of us could sit here and not support this when the overwhelming majority of people in Hensley Township want this. Now, the Hensley Township Board doesn't want it, but overwhelmingly, it's in our packet right here. All you got to do is read the facts. We need to pass this and get on with it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jay. Ms. Berkson, did you have a comment?
No.
Okay. Mr. Mitchell and then Ms. Petrie.
You know, it reminds me of a place up in Madison, Wisconsin called Quivy Grove that's out a little bit out in the country. So I can see the ambiance that they're offering. I'm just going to say it's economic development for the area, number one. And I really have to congratulate you for wanting to get involved in business at this time, you know, getting with the downturn in the economic thing. But I think that's great. So I'm going to vote in favor of it.
Thank you. Ms. Petrie.
It is indeed a fantastic idea, and it is indeed economic development. And from everything I've heard, these ladies run a fabulous business. But to be consistent with my vote on the Klein case, which was a no when I could not convince the board to add in to the recommendation that when the Klein land went from Ag 1 to I 1, unless the board is willing to do the same with this, that if this business ceases, then this reverts back to Ag 1 and does not stay at Ag 2, because there is no guarantee down the line that what is an Ag 2 today will be an Ag 2 10 years down the line. For us to make that presumption is not valid, and we do need to do things to protect the inroads and the spread of what happens when we start changing zoning and by zoning amendments incrementally throughout our county. It just opens the door for a lot of problems down the line.
Ms. Holderfield.
Thank you, Chairman. To L.A. Gourmet, kudos to you. I think your perseverance is fantastic. Thank you for hanging in there. You've been through a lot. You've done all of your legwork that you've needed to do. I'm proud of you. Thank you to everyone who attended this evening to support this project. I very much support the project. I would very much like to see a venue in Champaign County, as well as in District 1, to host many events. I do recognize that there are many opportunities that are missed in business because of missing venues like this. I've traveled throughout the entire state, and there are multiple areas that do have venues like this in a rural setting. I do want to address the issue of returning the property back to its original zoning. There is a potential for, it could be very problematic for the lending process. When a property is turned into one type of zoning and then flipped back to another, it makes it very, very difficult to finance that property. So I would ask you to be very cautious in contemplating doing something like that, because it could be, in the long run, something that is impossible to finance. But again, congratulations to all of you in your efforts.
Before I go to the second round, Mr. Schroeder, I'm going to recognize Mr. Alex and then Mr. Quisenberry.
Thank you, Alex. Not enough desk space. I just wanted to speak briefly to the basis for my decision on this issue. I spent 5 years as a plan commissioner, so I understand the protest process, and I understand that protests arise through legitimate concerns, and I think I sent a few of them to the Champaign County Board myself, and I, to be honest, don't remember how you acted on them, but I'm guessing that we probably didn't prevail. I just want to make the comment that we've had a lot of testimony tonight about, you know, how wonderful this business could be, and how talking about the resumes of the proprietors and the public convenience, and I don't think that's the basis on which we need to be making this decision. To me, the basis on which we need to be making this decision is the record that we've been given by the Zoning Board of Appeals. And the Zoning Board of Appeals is a public hearing body. They're a deliberative body. In these cases, they give a lot more time and attention and in-depth analysis to these zoning cases with the assistance of the Planning and Zoning Department than we could ever hope to do in a committee of the whole meeting. So, you know, this is not a group that throws darts at a board. This is not a group that, you know, is subject generally to the whims of politics. The ZBA believes that this is an appropriate rezoning request. I agree, and I intend to support it. Thank you.
Mr. Quisenberry.
Okay, people are going to be shocked because I'm going to disagree a little bit with Mr. Alex. I think, actually, the success of this business is a part of this, because I don't think we'd want to undertake this if we had concerns about making a rezoning for a business that wasn't likely to succeed. And I can say that I've been fortunate enough to be at some lunches where I've had LA Gourmet Food. I know it's a good business. I know they do good work. I look back in time because I recall Alto Vineyards coming into business out there around 2001. And I asked Mr. Hall for some information, and I determined that this same Hensley Township Board didn't protest the rezoning that was required for the Alto Vineyards rezoning for that business to get started. They were closer to the city. I think they've annexed now. That may not play as much into this discussion. But looking at Alto Vineyards and how they constructed, what they did going in there, they're a fine business. But looking at the plans that LA Gourmet has put together, this group has done a lot to make sure that they build something that belongs in the country, that is protected. They've responded to concerns from the ZBA. I think they're doing everything right. And why Hensley Township would not have a problem, same board members, by the way, same trustees at that time, would not protest Alto Vineyards and then turn around and protest a group that is really, you know, going the full mile on this, doing it right, I can't understand. So I intend to support it. I think it's a good thing for the county, and I hope everybody else supports it.
Ms. Michaels?
Basically, Mr. Quisenberry just said what I was talking about to you. I think they've gone above and beyond to make sure that everything, I's dotted, T's crossed, and I believe the zoning board has actually put them through a lot of extra things, too, just to make sure that they were being careful. So we definitely need to support LA Gourmet in this project.
Thank you. Is there...
I just want to call the question.
Ms. Ammons.
I'd like to call the question.
I'd like to give Mr. Schroeder a one more response on the second round, please. Mr.
Just
Schroeder.
Just respond to Ms. Petrie. she is correct about we could have sunset the Klein property when we did the I-1 rezoning, but this is not the same as the Klein property, because once we rezoned the Klein property, they could use it by right in I-1. What they wanted to use it for. This is not by right. We are rezoning this so they can obtain a special use permit if the Zoning Board of Appeals so desires. So they are two different types of cases.
Thank you. Ms. Ammons, you call the question? I have called the question.
Second on that.
I'm sorry. I need a second. Ms. Holderfield. All right. Let's call it. All in favor, call the question.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. This is a roll call vote. Please call the roll.
Michaels?
Absolutely, yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
O'Connor?
Yes.
Petrie?
No.
Quisenberry?
Yes.
Richards?
Yes.
Rosales?
Yes.
Schrader?
Yes.
Weibel?
Yes.
Alex?
Yes.
Ammons?
Yes.
Binzel?
Yes.
Berkson?
Yes.
Betts?
Yes.
Carter?
Yes.
Cowart?
Yes.
Esri?
Yes.
Holderfield?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kibler?
Yes.
Langenheim?
Yes.
McGinty?
Yes.
Maxwell?
Yes.
Kurtz?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you. Next item. That will not go on consent. We have our monthly report that's on your desk. Could I please have reports? Mr. Langenheim first, Mr. Quisenberry second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. There's no other business. We have nothing on the consent agenda. Thank you.
Next up is facilities with Mr. Betts.
Mr. Betts.
If the public could please exit the room, would it be appreciated, and carry on your conversations outside. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Esri. I'm going to call the facilities meeting together this evening. On page 44, you have the rankings from the sessions that we did. The rankings are self-explanatory in terms of points. The highest was ILPP, the second highest was Kimmy, followed by Justice Solutions Group, followed by DLZ of Illinois. It is up to this committee to make a recommendation to the full board. Ms. Ammons.
Thank you, Mr. Betts. I'd like to move approval of the top-ranked firm, ILPP, for the consulting services for Champaign County Jail Needs Assessment.
That is seconded by Mr. Langenheim. Discussion. Seeing no discussion, I'm going to have the clerk call the roll.
Michael?
No.
Mitchell?
No.
O'Connor?
No.
P3? Petrie?
Yes.
Quisenberry? Richards?
Yes.
Rosales?
Yes.
Schrader?
Nope.
Weibel? Alex?
Yes.
Ammons?
Yes.
Binzel?
No.
Berkson?
Yes.
Carter?
Yes.
Howard?
Yes.
Esri?
No.
Holderfield?
No.
James?
No.
Jay?
No.
Kibler?
No.
Kurtz?
Yes.
Langenheim?
Yes.
McGinty?
Yes.
Maxwell?
No.
Beth?
Yes, Mr. Weibel has walked in the room. Mr. Weibel, your vote.
May I ask what we're voting on?
That was on ILPP to be the preferred vendor. And Mr. Quisenberry is, as well has not voted.
I'll vote yes.
Yes.
And Mr. Quisenberry, yes as well. 14-11. Yes. Motion carries. Next item of business is recommendation for Shields meeting room improvements to enhance county board public access. Mr. Reinhardt and Ms. Busey have worked to come up with some ideas. Mr. Reinhardt or Ms. Busey, whoever would like to speak to it.
Well, as you are aware, and as documented in the memo, there are some significant issues and problems with the current sound system, the current video system for recording county board meetings. There have been repeated complaints by board members about the setup of this room. We're going to a smaller board on December 1st, and the county clerk, Alan Reinhardt, Andy Rhodes, our IT director, Dan Welch, the treasurer, are all aware of these issues. And within our fiscal year 2012 budgets, with your approval to move forward, we have put together for your recommendation of how to address those issues and remodel this room so that it is configured according to the, there are two designs at your desk tonight. There's one on the front and one on the back, two different ways of purchasing furniture that would be slightly smaller, take up less space, remove this platform, which limits and constrains the way this room can be set up, increase the public participation areas, improve the filming capabilities, improve also so that the meetings could be fed through a live stream over the internet so that people other than those who have Comcast would be able to watch it at home while the meeting is going on, and making improvements to the sound system so that you can actually hear the meetings when you listen to them or watch them. So that's a summary overview. In the packet, you will see that the county clerk, who is basically responsible for the video filming of the meetings, has identified $20,000 in his fiscal year 2012 budget that he is willing to commit to this project to replace video equipment. The IT department has identified $30,000, which they would use to replace the sound system and hopefully improve the presentation system for presentations when they are put up for you and for the public. Within your own general county budget, there is $55,000 left in the contingent line item and $5,000 left in the attorney's fees line item that will not be needed. That you, if you approve of this, you could approve transferring to the physical plant for the facility needs of this room to address the issues that have been stated. And then the treasurer has $16,000 in his capital asset replacement fund that was originally slated for a filing system and furnishings, which due to technology, he does not need to replace the filing system in the future and is offered that that money could be used to purchase new furniture.
Mr. McGinty.
Well, I love the idea of using the horseshoe design just so that we can all talk with each other. I've had my back to
all these folks for 8 years, and I think they would use much many fewer hand gestures and things if they were looking me in the eye after some of the things I said. But definitely the horseshoe's going to help. I really don't care which one. Love the idea of using multiple cameras, just something to get a little bit more read on what, and of course, improved audio quality is going to just be huge from a transparency standpoint, information standpoint. To have the money to do it this year, the plan to take a month and go over to the Dimmitt to meet, to get this done before the next board meets, good deal. Let's do. I don't care which one of these, but both of these make a heck of a lot more sense in the way we've done it for quite a while now.
So that we can have a proper discussion, is someone willing to make a motion?
Yes, I move approval. Said motion based upon
state the motion with some degree of specificity. So we
know it's generic. I move that.
Microphone, please.
Oh, yes, I need a microphone. That's a good idea.
I move that we approve, recommend suggested improvements for the Shields meeting room to enhance County Board public access. I'll go with option one.
Okay. He's recommending the action that is stated as the recommendation on page 47 with option one. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Mitchell. Discussion. Discussion on the motion. Ms. Bergson.
Where Brendan McGinty says they would be looking in the eye, if you look at these straight rows of 8 to 10 people, nobody, they're going to be 8 to 10 people that you can't look in the eye. And I think a real horseshoe is in a big curve would make an awful lot more sense.
Who's next? Mr. Esri.
I'm going to drag two into it, and the reason why is I was wondering where in one, it looks like in A2 you see the screen at like the bottom of the U. In one, I was wondering where the screen would be for presentations that need to go on a screen.
In that U, I believe it would be over here close to this location.
However, we've also talked about having a monitor or two in the room at other locations just to enhance the ability of the public and those who might otherwise have their back to the screen to be able to see it.
Mr. Carter.
Yeah. You know, I wasn't too in favor of changing this committee. The county is growing. For what you pay your county board members to do your job, to spend this money to change the chamber, you're almost out at Muhammad now. You just passed Savoy and the study group. So later on, what you're going to have to do, come back and vote them back on and redo. To me, it just isn't making the sense. No more money that you was paying the county board members. I think it was a trust. Thank you.
Mr. Weibel.
I like the idea. First of all, I thank Mr. Holton for giving us the money, or offering to give us the money. I'll talk to you later about some needs I have personally. Also, the IT staff, too. I want to point out about the question about this being a horseshoe. It is a horseshoe because if you look at the number of tables, says certainly I'm looking at A2 at the moment. The seating for 26, so only two of the county board members would be at the head, so to speak. All the other 20 would be on the side. So effectively, it is a horseshoe. And really the same, maybe different for number one, actually. And for that reason, another reason, I prefer item two or option two because there's less of a hidden portion the view of the of a person that's on the board versus the possibly with the corner of the where a spectator might be sitting there versus back if the spectator would be sitting back that corner and the card member might be sitting there where Mr. J is, obviously they can't see each other. So therefore I move to amend the main motion to change option one to option two.
I'll add that.
That was seconded by Mr. Quisenberry. So you're substituting option two for option one.
Correct.
So now the matter that is in order is only to discuss the merits between option one and option two, not whether or not we do the project itself. So I'm starting a new list of folks to speak on that subject, and I will limit you. Ms. Holderfield.
In looking at this, I guess counting the seats basically in the best site of vision, what's your site going to be? And I think particularly for the audience as well as the board members, either option one or option two I think are going to have good visual. But as far as the public, what is the opinion of the experts that drew this? Who's going to, which one of these are really going to have the better site from the audience's perspective?
We presented the architects with option one, and they developed option two because they believe it delivers better site access, as you were speaking about, because the public is basically all seated at the base of the U.
Thank you.
Mr. Quisenberry. Okay, Mr. Kurtz.
I'm curious, the single seat at the... I'm on the microphone. What's happening? Or is
doesn't
it my
work.
Voice that I'm losing? The single seat, whose seat is that?
Public participation or presenter.
Oh, okay, so this would be there? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, it's actually an option two. It's right at the base of the U.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Kibler.
I was going to say either one is perfectly fine with me since I made the main motion. There's nothing that I have an affinity towards either option at this point.
Mr. J.
Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering if we really needed to make a choice tonight on the options. I thought we were just going to maybe move forward because in the process, just for your information, there was 75 people in here tonight, not counting the board members, and we were full, as you could see. And if there was any way that we could increase that, I wouldn't want to limit it to particularly these. We're going to have an option to view these again before we accept one. So could we leave that option open for both, or is that unreasonable?
If I could respond to that, we actually did not expect you to select an option. Both of these require the purchase of exactly the same equipment and furnishings, and it's quite frankly something that could probably be adjusted based upon your input, on the board's input, after the initial setup is done. So we were really only looking, we wanted to just give you an idea of what it would look like. We were just looking for your approval of the overall concept of moving forward with the project.
Ms. Michaels.
Speaking, whether option one or option two, not going to be very popular here. Although I do feel that we need sound and video updates, I really don't see spending the money on redoing the room to option two or either option, shortening the desks and putting everybody on top of each other.
Mr. Langenheim. Ms. Bergson.
With regard to option two, you now have 10 people in a row. If you remember when everyone was here tonight, that would be Durrell on one end and the gentleman in the striped shirt. And if you remember, there's no way that people could have seen each other in that row. And you're saying that that will be how we'll organize the board. It doesn't seem as though it will encourage me to meet.
Mr. O'Connor.
In the interest of fairness and accuracy, in the minutes on page 45, it should be stated that the boardroom sound system, which has been in use since 1996, has failed.
Not relevant to the actual motion on the floor.
want to call the question on the amendment.
Ms. Petrie.
Ms. Brookton asked some questions about the possibility of furniture that would turn this more into a...
Let's get through the
point of
well, I thought we were talking about the possibilities.
The question is to speak to the motion on the floor, which is option two,
okay.
Which is an amendment. Ms. Holderfield.
Call the question.
Anyone else want to speak? Okay. All those in favor of calling the question on the amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Now we will be voting on the amendment, which is to adopt option two before we get to the main motion. Mr. Alex.
I would like someone to speak to a couple of things. First, what specifically will be done in this to support... Mr. Chair, could you ask for the... room to come to order.
Point of order. We called the question. We have to vote on the amendment.
That's correct.
I thought the question was called on the amendment.
It is. We haven't voted on the amendment.
We just did.
We voted on the calling question.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Point of order. We voted on the calling question, which you must vote on.
Yes, we did not vote on the amendment.
Oh, my mistake. I thought you called the question by information.
Sorry.
What are you,
rule for me, Mr.
The President. Amendment is on the floor right now. The amendment is on the floor.
Okay. Ready for a vote? Roll call?
Question's been called. I called the question.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Now we're to the main motion, right? Now we're on the main motion that was made by Mr. Kibler. And Mr. Kibler had his hand up. You wish to speak, and so does Mr. Alex.
Yes, I would like to speak on the main motion. So I'm a tech geek by heart, and awesome. I bet you didn't do that. I will say that not having access, because I'm also a satellite TV user and whatnot, so I don't have a way to watch these videos, assuming I was at home, or my wife couldn't watch me right now, or my whole family, or anybody else for that matter, if you weren't on Comcast, you'd have to watch them after the fact. So bringing us up to the 21st century, so people at home who don't have the capabilities to get here to actually see everything happening is very important to me. It's honesty and openness in government. I feel like it's absolutely necessary for us to do. The number seems pretty high. I mean, that's a fairly large amount of money, $125,000 that we're considering. But that said, there's a lot of – I can understand the argument, which is why I'll vote in support of this, but I want to see more in terms of what the breakdown is going to be just in case we do have to pick and choose. But I appreciate it.
Mr. Alex.
I would like you to specifically hear what the proposal is for providing streaming access via the Internet, and I'd like to hear what the specific plan is for the seats in which the public will be seated, because I can state without reservation that the seats in this room are the worst I've ever sat in as a member of the public attending a public body.
You haven't been to the courthouse.
I'll take the seats first, which is your last, and then Mr. Halton can answer your first. We are hoping that we are able to afford it's airport style gang seating. So, okay, it's a row of seats that are all attached, but the seats are individual. And if it helps you, I think I have a picture. So, yeah.
I get the picture.
We have, to the question about video streaming, we have investigated streaming these meetings online for the full 18 months that I've been in office, and we haven't come up with a reasonable non-ad-supported solution. And we met with CB Lloyd, who's the audio vendor for the room, about the video capabilities as well, because even though we are allocating resources to them from different budget centers, it makes sense that the system should all be integrated. And they, we actually met with them Thursday morning. So we don't have a final design, a final plan. I have identified for them priorities of streaming online, multiple cameras that are adjustable so that we can, you know, identify individual members of the public or individual board members who are speaking, the ability to caption the screen with the name of an individual board member or the name of a member of a public who's speaking so that we can provide that information. The ability to insert into the feed whatever is being presented instead of simply aiming a camera at the screen and showing the back of all of your heads looking at the screen. So that was a critical piece. And then there was one other, and it was the ability to put monitors in the room, because this thing can't go away. And so somewhere in the room there's going to be obstructed views of somebody who's speaking. And so we talked about the possibility of a monitor here and a monitor over there, so that no matter where you are in the room, you can see whatever the cameras are looking at. So those were our priorities. And the vendor, CV Lloyd, is coming up with a plan. I'm hopeful that it doesn't cost anywhere near $20,000, but that was a number that we felt comfortable committing to the project. As you know, serving as clerk to the county board is one of the four main responsibilities of our office, and it's one of the responsibilities that we devote the least amount of resources to. It's past time that we do this, in all honesty.
Mr. Alex, is a follow-up.
Mr. Chair, follow-up, please. With regard to this, now you said these are things you're investigating. Is it your intent that these are things that actually end up being part of the system?
Yes, they're sort of my criteria for participating.
Okay. And with regard to the having multiple cameras and these systems that can insert graphic material in the output and so forth, what will this do to the requirements as far as personnel to operate during the county board meeting?
We will have one or two members of our staff who are fully trained on the system. We talked with the vendor about having something that is extraordinarily easy to use in terms of macros. Push a button number one for the county board member from District 1. Push a button number two for the county board member for District 2. Here's a button for public participation. Here's a button to switch to the screen. Everything's pre-programmed. It's all run off a PC.
Do you think this is something that one person would not require more than one person to operate?
Correct. We're talking about that little closet that's in the storeroom behind that wall. I don't know if you have any of you have ever been in that storeroom.
No.
The first time I looked at it was a couple of days ago. There's a little closet in there that's got a room for a desk and a PC and a couple of monitors and a control board. And
okay,
hopefully that's all we need.
Thank you.
Other questions on the motion? Mr. James? Mr. Schroeder? Schroeder.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm here. Thanks. Nothing for you, Gordy. Is that what you're asking? I just want to say I think it's time we do something. Obviously, what we just heard with the tech system is abysmal, and it's not fair to those who operate our recording devices and such to have substandard things, surplus World War II equipment to work with, basically. And the reason I push Mr. Kibler is because, and I apologize, but I'd like for us to have something to move forward with. I think we can probably tweak the option we chose, but I think we could sit here all night and try to redesign and re-engineer this thing, but I think if we're going to do this thing, let's put something out there. Like I said, we can tweak it if we have to, but let's put a design out there and run with something.
Mr. James, did you have your hand up?
No, but I would make a comment. Can you believe that? Can we also put in some nice light colors in here, pastel, for me to dream while I'm sitting here?
You're only here 2 years, Stanley.
Always something interesting on the county board. Mr. Mitchell.
Well, I'm guessing that this is a screen behind the center part of the U. I think that if we could, with the engineers and architects, be able to figure out that we maybe have LCD screens that are placed strategically in the room, and maybe dispense with an actual screen that would. I think that's taken up a lot of space in the room that we just don't need. I mean, I concur that when you look at white, I think if we had some soothing colors in here, I think that would be great. Thank you.
Ms. Burns.
Wondered why we need a smaller desk.
They're too big. They take up too much room.
Mr. Quisenberry and then Ms. Petrie.
Yeah, one of the things I want to make sure is part of this plan is as we encourage our board members to become less dependent on paper and use electronic devices to access things, I think the wireless support of this room may need to be enhanced so the media, the board members, the public you know, if we have 30 people in here trying to use a wireless device, we may need a little bit more than what we have.
Ms. Petrie.
Basically, three comments. Back to the squared-off U, there, I do encourage looking into the furniture that would round those edges. Second, you said that the audience seating is fixed rather than movable. It reminds me of the Urbana City Council, and I don't know what the cost variable is, but if it's possible to have it more of a movable format than
There are strings of seats that are attached.
Yeah,
they
I know.
Can be moved around until
know,
we decide where we want them.
Right, but if we could have, I think movable has more user friendliness to it. That's where I was going with that. And the last decoration has been brought up. My biggest concern is that we do whatever gets done in the room. Painting, et cetera, that it's on low VOCs.
Got it.
For the consideration of everybody in the room and the building.
Other questions before we vote? All those in favor of the main motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay. Mr. Reinhardt.
As requested at the last meeting, I have supplied a memorandum showing you or giving you some ideas, suggestions, starting on page 48 for some repairs to the downtown jail facility, the building. As I said, we took a look at the building integrity itself, identified two areas, and then I talked with the sheriff and his officers, and we tried to determine what we could do, what else we could do inside the building to make it better for them and or the officers, employees. So, first thing I'd like to recommend is that we have a limited roof maintenance and repair section done. If you'll look up on the screen now, you can see this is basically the very front of the building on Main Street that is directly over the sheriff's office, the reception area for where all the ladies sit, the public entry, and that area itself is giving us the most problem it has for the last couple of years. So trying to keep the scope of each individual project down into a doable project, this is a section that we need to relax the rubber. If you can, okay, I'm going to forward here for just a second. The rubber in this area is actually starting to pull away from the roof, and it's allowing it to water again. You can see where the rubber itself along this wall here is almost out straight. That puts tension on this flashing, which pulls it away from the, and that's where we the wall, and that's where we get water leaks. So the idea is to release the rubber throughout the office section, let it relax, reflash it into the parapet wall, seam the edges, and hopefully that will alleviate a lot of pressure. Why just this section? Because this particular section of the building, up to an expansion joint designed into it that runs east and west. So this is the south section of the building. The north section seems to be holding much more stable. So that was the first item I would like you to take a look at. Give me one more second. Next, I'm going to. The next option was the exterior brick of the building. And. Oh, sorry.
Quick question about the roof. Is this a different repair than the one we looked at our last meeting?
No, this is the repair we talked about at the last meeting.
All right, thank you.
Okay. And just so you know, this is just for the south section over the sheriff's office. This is not the entire building. Yes, Patsy.
Information question. Do you have any idea why the south side is having more problems than the north side?
The south side is, well, actually, I do not know why that particular side is having more problem than the north side. Maybe it's because it gets more wind off Main Street. I'm not sure, but it's definitely.
Yes. Does this particular issue address more than just the water in the front? Because I know there are some other issues that are for the building in terms of moisture, or is this just for the front offices? Will this only impact the front office area?
This roof repair will, in fact, impact just the front office area. The other items I have identified, mainly the exterior masonry walls, will impact the entire building. Okay. As it's kind of a compounded issue. As the rubber is shrinking and pulling away from the walls, it puts tension on the side of the building, and the water infiltrates through the stone coping around the building into the brick veneer, and then in the wintertime it freezes, falls and breaks and pushes the brick. So this is a section of the the next item I'd like to recommend is exterior walls. We need some caulking. We need some a limited amount of tuck pointing. Okay. This is a section showing a crack right here where the bricks have actually broken, and so this would be cut and sawed and repaired. We've tried to identify, this is the stone coping, it goes all the way around the building. Every one of these joints is letting water into the building, which gets down behind the exterior brick. We looked at least 75 to probably 75% of these need to be recaulked, cut out, cut the old caulking out, recaulking, put them back. You cannot tell from this photograph, but you can actually, I could see daylight right through this crack here. So the water is definitely getting into that. And this is typical for a building after 30 years, so it just needs to be taken care of. You can see stair stepping here in the brick. This is in the northeast corner of the building, a couple of locations. This crack is definitely taking moisture in. Yes.
I was going to say, is that related to any kind of rust jacking with the window there, or is that specific to movement in the walls?
I believe that is specific to movement in the walls, complicated by the moisture coming in from on top. The northeast corner and the northwest corner are both showing signs of doing this. It's not bad at this point in time where I don't believe the brick, the veneer is going to come off, but if we catch it now and take care of these cracks, it should be better. Yes.
What's behind the veneer?
Solid block and steel structure. Yes, all in the jail section, all the block was laid underneath the steel frame, and then the block was filled, slushed full with mortar. Yes.
I'm not meaning to micromanage, but does that go all the way to the foundation of the building?
No, these are up above the window level on the lower section.
But do you know why it's moving?
I do not. We have not investigated that yet at this time. Why?
Okay. Because I mean, if you tuck pointed it, that's a fix, but it could continue to move.
It's possible. Main thing we need to do right now is to stop the water getting in, and everything. Every building expands and contracts, and over time, and this particular building, like I said earlier, on the northwest and northeast corner, both of those sections have this stair stepping effect.
Thanks.
Patsy?
More information questions. On both the roof and the exterior tuck pointing, based on what I think I understood, you say there has been no maintenance on either of those over the since the building was built?
That is not correct. There has not been any tuck pointing or weatherproofing done to the exterior of the brick. We have replaced the roof once. 1996, I believe it was.
Okay. Thank you.
Alan, maybe I missed you saying something about the interior wall of that particular crack that's on the screen. Is the interior wall showing the same stair stepping?
No, it's not.
All right.
Yes. Are the headers of those windows steel?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Thank you.
What we've tried to do is identify, if I may, just a second. There is a I'm sorry, Mr. Carter.
How long have you been since we had that building?
The building was put up in 1980.
1980.
36
years. 32. That long?
32.
Yes.
Is this a new part of the courthouse?
No, this is the sheriff's office. Sheriff's office in downtown jail.
Okay. I was fixing to say that. That's the jail.
Yes, this is the jail section I'm showing you here now. So what we're trying to address with the stone is the waterproofing and caulking is the, basically the top 3 feet. There's a weep line here where the roof is right back here, so at this level. So we caulk and seal the stone on top, address the weep line, and the, everything else below it, 90% of everything else below it is still pretty solid, with the exception of the northwest and northeast corners. So that will need some work there. Okay. Sorry? It does not yet, but it will eventually if we don't stop it. Okay, unfortunately, I did not bring any more photographs of the rest of the items, so I will, if there, unless there's any more questions, I'll just go down the list.
Use your imagination.
Okay. The indoor recreation area floor tile, which again is 30 years old and it's been stripped and waxed and repaired, and approximately 30% of it's been broken and cracked and missing. So what I supplied later at the back page is an estimate of what it would take. This would have to be a multiple little project. We'd have to, we believe that there is probably non-desirable mastic in the building, so we would probably have to have a small abatement for it. So we would have two small projects there, abate the floor first, and then we would put new floor tile back in. We'd enhance that. We have talked in the past about we have obsolete locks that are in the main corridors. We identified 10 primary locks that need to be replaced, and we're suggesting that maybe we go ahead and get those now. We get a 15% discount, which saves us a lot of money. Typically, they are $1,000 each. We buy a quantity of 10, we can get them for right at $850. So, and that's just, and there are 32 of those types of locks. We just identified the 10 major ones that are used every day. A suggestion to try to increase the natural lighting. I do have one more photo here I would like to show you. After the first jailbreak, when the building was put up, the sheriff at that time then immediately had solid plate steel put over the security glazed windows at the top of the cell blocks. You see the windows are 20 feet up off the mezzanine, and after the steel plates were welded solid, someone made a decision to go back and have the physical plant drill holes in them. Okay, we barely meet the standards required for natural lighting. These are individual holes. They're only 2 foot by 2 foot, 2 foot by 2 foot opening with half-inch individual holes. And that's all the natural lighting you get in the day room in each cell block. We devised a way, we think that we can, if we you choose to, we could cut 7-inch wide slots and increase the natural daylight, natural lighting into the day rooms. And we identified 16 windows, 16 openings. We would have to take the glass out the outside. The building would stay secure. We would cut slots in it, clean the steel the best we could, put the windows back in. Okay. The next item we... Oh, sorry. Certainly. This entire area here is a window, or probably two windows, and then this entire area here. So, yeah, you can see that they we have blocked up 75% of the natural opening. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Once again, I think that's all the photos I had. We have had shower stalls in individual day rooms are a mess. They we've tried multiple solutions. It's hard to put to do it correctly. They were originally painted with epoxy paint, and when we tried to paint the first time years ago, the epoxy paint at that time was so strong we almost had to completely vacate the building because the ventilation is very poor. So later on, it was determined by another sheriff that they wanted to put latex paint on top of the soapy epoxy paint. Well, we've got into a big mess. So what we have found the best thing to do in the shower stall, which we have tried in one, is to cover the walls with a sheet aluminum, mechanically fastened. Then we've got a good, clean, solid surface that we can clean on a regular basis, clean soap, scum, and everything else that builds up on it. So that is another consideration that we've looked at. There are, I believe, 8 remaining showers, and we have done it to 2, I said incorrectly. Okay. And then finally, painting of the cell blocks and day rooms. The physical plant has never in the history of this building been involved in painting the jail day rooms or cell blocks. This year we tried to help out, and we did paint 2 of the day rooms. And it took us quite a bit of time with our limited staff. But I think if this board chooses, we could get pricing and have professionals do it in a reasonable amount of time, and it would help clean up the way the cell blocks and area looks. Finally, on page 50, I would like to state before we go to that, I have been working diligently on all these projects at the same time. At this time, all pricing has not been received to satisfy the requirements of the county's purchasing policy. Therefore, I've given you ranges when practical so as to be fair to any other potential contractors, and I'm still waiting on more pricing. So finally, on page 50, I gave a list of priorities, and I stopped at the top first 3. And would let this board or the sheriff's department determine just how far you want to go with the locks or the lighting or the shower stalls or the painting. The value for the roof for just the front section is $20,000 to $25,000. That could be done within a 4-week period. The exterior wall masonry, taking care of the coping, minimal tuck pointing, we can have that completed in about approximately 3 weeks from $15,000 to $20,000. The indoor recreation area floor tile was estimated by talking to abatement contractors and floor tile suppliers, approximately $13,250. The replacement locks are received, an actual price I received from the dealer at our price, and they are proprietary to match the existing door hardware. We cannot get a different model or brand to put in there without major welding and cutting and refitting, and that is about an $8,400 price tag for that one. I did receive an estimate for the range for the natural lighting, and I did pick 16 windows. I had to have some numbers for them to work with. Well, do you want to do every piece of steel or what? So I picked 16 windows. I picked 7-inch slots to fit at each area, and where that's estimated to be $7,000 to $10,000. I have not had time to finish pricing and get price quotes for installing the shower stall coverings, and I have not yet at this time got a contractor price for cleaning and painting the day rooms or cells. And if that's what this board would like me to continue, I will continue down that road and keep working on it.
Alan, I presume you and the sheriff have had some consultations regarding the priorities. Are you and the sheriff in concurrence on 1, 2, and 3 as the order of priority?
I did not consult with the sheriff about setting the priorities for this. I chose a priority of the roof and the exterior walls to stop the deterioration of the building. From the facilities standpoint, I thought that was most importantly if we could do anything at this time. The rest of the options, including the floor tile, is strictly that's up to the sheriff and this board what they would like to find.
Sheriff on this spot, then.
If I could just add one thing. The board has already approved the roof replacement, and the money has been appropriated for it in this year's budget. So that top item basically has already been approved.
Again, Sheriff, we have item 1, 2, 3, and then the various question marks. Your view in terms of it, are they in concurrence?
1 and 2, they certainly are, because of the water that comes in and the humidity problems, as well as the long-term structural damage that you're going to do. Item number 3, to me, is not that critical. Depending on what you folks decide, if we're going to be in that building for another 3 years or maybe a lot longer, the locks could be crucial. The shower stall coverings, I think that's something that's a little bit more important than the floor. So I would totally agree 1 and 2, and then as we get farther, I would kind of disagree. Painting, yeah, I don't want to talk too long, but it makes quite a difference. Alan's guys painted the day rooms, and it looks so much better than it did before. For those of you that haven't seen it, it's like night and day, but they haven't been painted in many years.
Mr. Alex.
First of all, Alan, I wanted to thank you for the work that clearly went into this. I mean, we asked you to put some numbers together, and I think you went above and beyond in terms of identifying things that need to be done, and I want you to know we appreciate it. I don't see anything on this list that is surprising. I mean, we're aware that our constituents give us, and we give you, very little resources to work with when it comes to maintaining these buildings. I don't think there's anything on this list that is not unexpected or unreasonable in a building that's 36 years old, and especially a building that, as Mr. Betts has pointed out, gets 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week usage. These are all things that are the cost of ownership of a facility. We absolutely need to make sure that our facilities continue to be safe and protected against the weather, and that we don't do further damage by delaying necessary maintenance. I don't see anything on this list that I think is inappropriate. And as speaking for myself, I would like to see us proceed with these as soon as possible.
Mr. Alex, I hear what you're saying. We don't have financials on the last two items. Deb, do we need a motion to forward so this could go to Budget Committee?
Well, okay, you have already approved the roof replacement. So I think the next question is for Mr. Reinhart, how much of this can yet be done in the next 3 months? Because really we start a new fiscal year on December 1st. When I take out the first item, the balance of these items that you have costs for is $51,000. At this point, there is $150,000 left in the capital asset facilities fund that has not been appropriated, and so the board could easily direct that the balance of the expenses for projects to be completed at the Downtown Correctional Center in fiscal year 2013 be appropriated from those funds that are in reserve for facilities capital projects.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will someone make a motion?
I will make the motion.
State it.
That we can take the remaining money that we have available to finish the projects within this fiscal year for the jail.
Okay. There's a motion on the floor with a second. Discussion on the motion. Mr. Sheridan.
Thank you. Deb, when we take that $50,000 out of the $150,000, what are we putting back in it every year of our budget? Are we putting something in it every year?
No.
Okay.
That is money that is in reserves in facilities that was not used 2 years ago and remains there. But, no, there is very little from the budget presentations last week going into the capital fund for next year for future projects.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Carter.
Are these prime contractor bids or just out of
estimate? These are not bid documents. We are getting individual prices from contractors. So they're price quotes and estimates at this time.
Could these just estimates from?
That is correct.
Ms. Petrie.
This question is for Ms. Busey. Why did you recommend that fund over public safety monies to do this?
Well, you could certainly appropriate it from public safety monies as well. We have not historically paid for facilities costs. We've paid for utilities costs, but not facilities maintenance or improvement costs from public safety sales tax fund. And the facilities budget within the capital asset replacement fund is and has been used for that.
Okay, and then can I tack on, even though it's the next topic, paying for the compressor in the courthouse, will this come, is your recommendation out of the same fund or would it be out of public safety?
No, my recommendation for that project actually is option two, which would be to use the courthouse construction funds that are available in that fund to be used on the courthouse.
Mr. McGinty, thank you. Mr. Mitchell.
This is a quick point of clarification regarding the motion. Is the motion to take that $51,000 plus to be determined items, so up to the entire balance of what you talked about, Deb? I want to make sure we understand what the motion is, because I do not.
Ms. Michaels.
I thought I said 50. Not what I said, the 50,000.
But it was remade. Okay. That's fine.
I'm sorry, but I believe that's what I said.
And I have just one point of clarification on the motion, too. Was your motion to appropriate it in this fiscal year 12 budget? And my concern is that I'm not sure all this work can be done in fiscal year 12. But we could bring the budget amendment, and whatever isn't done at the end, we could bring back to you as another budget amendment in 2013 to re-encumber the funds. Is that the goal? I just want to be clear. Okay.
Mr. Mitchell.
When we talk about that fund, there should be an opportunity to kind of look down the road and have some rainy day fund for, and also just a maintenance that's ongoing, as opposed to being more reactionary, because these the roof and the tuck point, it looks like it's really gone longer than it really should have been addressed. So if we had the money available, I think we should really be looking future so that we don't have to ebb and flow with the cash flow.
I think this might be the rainy day right now. When you got a roof leaking and it rains, it's a rainy day. Mr. Alex.
Now, I would like you to follow up on these items for which you don't yet have costs. I mean, I understand what Deb's saying is probably not the likelihood that we'd be able to complete all these in this year, even if we did have the money. But we want to make sure that these all get done eventually. So whatever we need to do to get budget requests made for these so we can consider them as part of the budget cycle, if we don't think we can get to them this year, I would like to see that happen. I think many would agree with me.
Further discussion? Patsy?
First I'm asking, I wanted to get a clarification on the floor tile, even though the sheriff has put it down in the priorities. Is that appropriate at this point, or should I ask it later?
Ask away.
Thank you. On the abatement that you mentioned that might be necessary, can that be circumvented if they use click flooring that has a tile surface and that might lower the price?
That is a possibility, but I'm not sure if that product would be properly used inside a jail. That we'd have to look and see just how it's...
Okay, it is concrete floor, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
Further discussion? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Okay, the air conditioning issue.
After we had such a lovely hot summer... At the end of July, we had a failure in the courthouse on the one stage, one circuit of our, about a 12-year-old courthouse air conditioning system. I received three price quotes from factory trained and factory experienced firms that are known to work on our particular brand style. It is a microprocess-controlled air conditioning unit, so just every Joe Blow on the street is not qualified to work on it. The three firms were Hunsicker Services, Intec Services, and Reliable Mechanical. They also supplied me with a price quote for replacing the compressor that failed. Typically, during a failure, you know if it's either an electrical failure or a mechanical failure. A mechanical failure, you don't have to worry about having acid in your oil when it's done. We know that this was an electrical failure, but we have not been able to get the oil out of the system, have it tested to know if it needs to be flushed. I would recommend that, to be on the safe side, we accept a low proposal from Reliable Mechanical, and they offered an initial cost of $4,000 to flush and clean the system so that the new compressor has every chance of possible to live its normal lifespan.
Chair would entertain a motion.
So moved, and I would I move with option two as the funding model.
Okay. Why don't we separate those?
Okay. You can't do one without the other.
Go ahead. State your motion.
I move we proceed with the repair using the low bid of Reliable and including the $4,000 to flush the system, and we fund it by going to the Courthouse Construction Fund as suggested by Ms. Busey in option two.
Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Cohen. Discussion. Ms. Petrie.
First question is what type of warranty will come with this work? With this work, this repair work.
There will be a full 1-year warranty on the compressor. We can investigate purchasing an extended warranty. Even with extended warranties, typically air conditioners last until the extended warranty's up before they break.
Right. Okay.
That's typical for any
cars.
Okay. Well, that's what I was betting with myself. It'd be a 1-year warranty. This leads to my second question. If it's a 1-year warranty, is it in the best interest of the county in relationship to such a warranty not to do this work until, say, next March?
That is, I understand what you're saying.
Good.
we've considered it because if we do it now, regardless, you get a 1-year warranty in an air conditioning system, whether you fix it in the fall or whether you fix it in the spring, you're still going to only have the limited 6 to 8 months of runtime regardless. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean. But I guess I'd put the odds more in my favor and not do it until March because then you got the full time. That'd be my reasoning.
Okay. Mr. Mitchell.
Do you have ability to establish maintenance contracts so that if you have issues where you've got a failing component, that you've got people that are familiar with the system? Because looking at having three different contractors come in to make bids, it looks like that the efficiency might be better to have somebody who's understands the system and can be able to address it as needs come up. And maybe it might be a little bit less expensive if you had a contract with that contractor or a contractor.
Okay, we have in the past, and you have limited maintenance contracts on certain systems that work that way. Typically on this air conditioning, our air conditioning systems, we do not spend our money for maintenance contracts for them. We save those for the high priority for the automation systems and things that have to have special license like elevator contracts and things like that. We have tried to do most of this in-house, and we can do most of it in-house at this point in time. But whenever you get into the microprocessing controls of a site-specific system, you really need to have factory-trained authorized people working on it. So that's the reason why we do not have it on the courthouse air conditioner system.
I just think you might be able to have, if you have a contract with them, they could maybe maintain the efficiency so that you know, long term is that it's a better operating system at a lower cost.
Okay.
Mr. James, Mr. James, followed by Mr. Esri, then Mr. Carter.
Well, I would probably disagree a little bit with Mr. Mitchell on that because things change so much and things get updated. But one thing I'm pleased to see tonight is that we're moving forward on some of these items. And I've said it in the past, and I'll say it again, and I know Mr. Jay has, that a lot of these items we talk about are ongoing items, and I would hope in the future that each building has a specific plan to do some of these checks, whether it be the nursing home, courthouse, or whatever, because we're going to see a lot of these coming up as these buildings keep aging, and with the use they get, I think we all tend to forget that it's 24/7, not like our home where we're in and out. But Cadu's to everybody that's getting this done, and I'm pleased to hear that, you know, paint goes a long way. We hear it on the news all the time, Patsy.
Mr. Ezra.
Yes, just a couple comments on Ms. Petrie's idea to put it off till March. First off, I think you could say this, doing it tomorrow is a bit of preventative maintenance. You're making do with two right now. Well, so one of those goes out. What are you going to do now? I don't think you're going to make it on one from what I'm reading. And second, if you could do it tomorrow, there's still some days here. You can check this out and make sure it works okay. Come next March, April, whenever you start needing air conditioning, gee, it worked. It should work again now. Now, granted, things can go wrong. I mean, yeah, maybe it wouldn't work, but get it going. If you can check it out yet at the end of this year while you still need a little bit of the air conditioning, go for it. It'd be like putting a new engine in your car and breaking it in a little bit before you take it out for the race. Usually you don't want to just put an engine in a car out there and just floor it immediately. You want to break it in a little bit. I think that would apply here to my thinking. So I would not want to put it off. Thank you.
Mr. Carter.
I found it, but I'm kind of weird about the unknown part.
The only unknown part of this is whether there's acid left inside the system, and if this motion passes like it was stated, we will eliminate any unknowns, and we will flush it and clean it before we hook the new air conditioning unit back up, so there will not be an unknown at that time.
Good troubleshooter, you would be able to find.
We will test it for sure, to make sure, but we did not want to open the system up and shut down the whole unit at this time. So that's the only reason why we don't know for sure whether it needs flushed or not.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, I don't understand a lot of this. That seems to be the system sure didn't last in the first place. That's what bothers me. When it was first put in there, it was like to me, he was too small or something that caused that failure. And anybody knows knowledge of troubles, you can find it. I know that.
Mr. Richards.
Just wanted to make sure. You're saying if this is passed, you want to basically, right after full board, get going on this immediately, and you think this can be fully done in fiscal 2012?
Absolutely.
Further discussion. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries.
All we have left is
the lease.
No, here you go.
We have a lease agreement between the County of Champaign and the Regional Planning Commission. The folks should have it on their desk. The chair would entertain a motion. Moved by Mr. McGinty, seconded by Mr. Weibel. Discussion. Mr. Alex.
What's the space for?
RPC is outgrowing their current space, and they're going to move Head Start operations into this space.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Further discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Our Bartell construction project.
If anyone noticed when they drove in tonight, you see that, at least before this weekend's rain, all final grading, seeding, and fertilizing was all completed for the project. It looks like they have to come back and do a little more after those monsoons came through this weekend. But we are just about ready to close this project out. There were not any payments made this month to either the contractor or the engineering firm. We expect final pay application from Cross Construction within the next month, and the same thing from Burns Clancy. At that time, we will be ready to finish our storm sewer improvement project.
Move any questions? Place on file.
There's a motion by Quisenberry, seconded by Michael.
Sure.
To place it on file. Discussion?
Aye.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And those against? Okay. Physical plant monthly reports, anything special or unique that you would like to highlight?
You'll notice that all you have is the electric and gas report. There's nothing unique or special on either one of those. The other typical reports are reports Renee creates off of information supplied by the auditor's office, that which is not available for you at this time. So that's all we have here for you tonight.
Ms. Michaels.
I noticed the electrical report was missing some of the offices. Is that something that's coming pretty soon?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, thanks.
Chair would entertain a motion to receive and place on file.
So
moved. By Mr. Kurtz, seconded by Ms. Michaels. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Chair's report. Mercifully, I have no report. Other business? I any other business? I know we all want to go home. Designation of items to be placed on consent agenda. Which one? B? E? Excuse me. Beyond that, we're done.
Mr. Best, would you go ahead and adjourn the meeting, please?
Do we adjourn or do we? We're adjourned.